months. Okay, the lesson tonight, if you want to get your Bibles out and turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, we're going to use that as a basis of our lesson. And something that we need to be aware of is blessings come after obedience. And that's something the world really doesn't quite understand. And so God has promised many blessings to us, but God has also appointed requirements for us to receive those blessings. So let's look at this and see what's going on. See, if you listen to the preachers of this world and from the denominations, you might get the idea that God showers his blessings upon everyone freely. And just because the rain falls on the just and the unjust does not necessarily mean that God is blessing. He just let nature take its course and do what it's supposed to do. And so we need to understand that. But he's not giving special blessings because he puts these showers upon us and things like that. That's not the case. All right, while the grace of God is free, and we know it is, it does have certain conditions which are required of man to enjoy the gift of God's grace. I mean, yes, he freely gives it because we really don't deserve it, but the gift of grace is free. But in order to receive that gift, we have to take it. We have to abide by the conditions that he sets forth. We're going to look at lessons learned from 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 15. And this is the story of Naaman. Naaman was a mighty, valiant warrior from Aram, and he was also a leper. I mean, he was a captain of the king's army, and he was very highly esteemed, but he had a disease. He had leprosy. And in verse 2, a servant girl from Israel who had been captured and put into service of Naaman's wife, she told her mistress that about the prophet who could heal Naaman. There's actually somebody in Israel who could heal him. Now, when we read the story, we don't read very much about any miracles that the prophet had done before this event. But this girl had confidence that since he was a prophet of God, he must have had the ability to do some healing. And so she told her mistress about that. She told Naaman about it. And Naaman went and told the king. So the thing we have here, even as a captive, the girl had compassion upon another human being. You can just imagine a slave girl would be so bitter against life, bitter against everybody. And just because she was captured, well, I'm not going to treat these people nice. I'm not going to give them anything to hope for. I mean, I hate these people. You know, that's kind of like what Jonah felt about the preaching to the Assyrians. I hate these people, so I'm not going to do it. Well, she could have been that way, but no. She had compassion on another human being. She said, you know, there's a way you could get healed. All right, so in verse 4, the news was so exciting, Naaman told his master, who was also the king of Aram, and he was excited. You mean you can be cured of this and then you won't be transmitting that disease to anybody? I mean, that's the way to look at it. I mean, he could do that and he could also stay in command of his army. And so that's what he would do. So in verse 5 and 6, the king sent a letter to the king of Israel, and making the request, if it please you, then please heal my servant. Now, when the king got that, he got upset. See, the problem is that the request went to the wrong person. And a lot of times, when we're asking for things, we usually go to the wrong people. Sometimes we go to, when we need assistance, we go to people like maybe in government or something like that, hoping that maybe they will do something for us. Chances are they're not going to do anything for us. So sometimes we take it to the wrong people, and so where we should be taking it is to God. And God will direct our steps and guide us to the help that we need. And so he went, sent the request to the wrong person. Now the king of Israel, he starts thinking about this, man, I don't have the ability to heal. I cannot do this. This king, what's he trying to do? Is he trying to start a war with me? Is he trying to start some sort of animosity between me and him? And he was totally bereft about that. And he says, you know what? Woe is me. What's going to happen? We're going to go to war again. Well, anyway, Elisha the prophet, he sent word to the king to allow Naaman to come see him. And so, as we continue the story, Naaman comes to the doorway of the house of Elisha. And what happens, he sits there a little while, then all of a sudden Elisha's servant comes out, a fellow by the name of Gehazi. And we'll read about him in a little bit. See, this messenger was sent out to Naaman with instructions. And of course, the instructions were very plain and simple. Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you will be healed. I mean, that's not too hard to figure out. I mean, it should be pretty simple to understand. And they were clear and precise, but Naaman was furious for several reasons. If you remember the story, yeah, you know, he was upset. And for several reasons, he thought about this. And so the famous words, "Behold, I thought." This is what he thought. I thought the prophet was going to come out and do something grand and great. Maybe dance around like a witch doctor in some of those Tarzan movies. Just go around crazy and all. Or make several incantations or bring the sky down or something. But to go dip in the Jordan River? I mean, that's repulsive to Naaman. He thought, that's terrible. Jordan River is a dirty river. I mean, it catches all the refuse from all the cities up north of it and bring it on down. It's really not a good place to water your cattle or things like that because of all the disease that comes down. That's why they needed to go to springs where there would be clean water. So he was thinking about that, and he had the same problem that many people in the world today have. God asked them to do something, and they're not willing to do it. I mean, that's a problem. So his pride got the better of him because he was a mighty warrior, and he demanded respect. Everywhere he went, people would bow down to him and honor him and listen to him, and if he barked out a command, people would do it. And this is what he did. And it was an insult to Naaman for the servant to come out and instruct him what to do. Now, what the servant brought was a message that was true. And there's a lesson here, which we need to consider, is really the messenger is not as important as the message itself. So when preachers think that they are so important and they're such value to the world, they've got it all wrong. We're just a messenger. The message, the saving possibility, the saving grace of God is in the gospel. The belief in the gospel is what will save people. And so it is the message of the cross that is so very active and possible to heal us of all of our problems. It's not the messenger that is important. It's the message. And that's another lesson we can learn from this story here. And besides that, he also considered that he was probably looking for a show or some great thing to happen. And we find this later on when he's talking to one of his servants. Servant, you know, if he'd come out and told you to do some great thing, would you have done it? Well, yeah, I would have. No problem. If he said, run around the house 3 times and then cluck like a chicken, would you have done it? Oh, yeah, I would have done that. I mean, so easy. But then the message came out. And then, of course, like I said, he was told to dip in the Jordan River. And that just didn't make sense to him because the rivers of Damascus were far better rivers. I mean, they were clean. The water was sweet. And they really didn't have the problem of all the cows and all the refuse coming down and all the pollution coming down because they were so much farther higher up in the mountains. And so such a simple command was really unreasonable for him to fathom. He could not do that. And the reasoning continued, and Naaman got madder as he thought about it. Like I said, the rivers of Damascus were much better than what the Jordan River was. So Naaman went away in a rage. He was fussing and fuming, probably kicking things around, probably kicking people and yelling at people. And he was just that way, but they had to go make camp before they started the journey back home. So they sat there and made camp. And while they were sitting there around the campfire, one of his servants comes up to him. And in a nice, small, still voice said, "Master." Now, had he come out and done something great, or asked you to do something great, you would have done it, right? Well, yeah. That was his response. Yeah, I probably would have. And he told you something very simple to do. I mean, we're here, right next to the Jordan River. What's it going to hurt? What harm could it do? And so with that little reasoning that was brought to him by this servant, he said, "You know what? You're right. Maybe I ought to just go ahead and do it." So the servant makes sense and encourages Naaman to go ahead, and since they were already there by the Jordan River. And what could it hurt to try? So here's what he did. Naaman went ahead and did so. And the result was just as the prophet said. When he came up from dipping himself seven times, he came up that seventh time, his flesh was like that of a little child. Smooth. No sores on it, no disease on it. And I'm sure he was absolutely amazed at what he saw. And we can figure out here that maybe Naaman was not even sure if it was going to happen. Even after dipping six times, he'd probably checking himself. Nope, still there. First time he dipped, yep, still there. Second time, third time, yep, still there. Sixth time, still there. But then the seventh time, he comes up, whoa, it's gone. So we don't really know if Naaman was a believer. You know, some of the false teachers today who supposedly teach faith healing says you have to be a believer before you can be healed. I mean, I don't think Naaman was a believer in God at all at that time, but he did what he was instructed to do. And that's the lesson there. We need to learn that lesson. God gives us instructions. We need to do them, whether we believe it's going to accomplish anything or not. We need to do what God tells us to do. And we will learn that if we do what God tells us to do, he will bless us. See, many people today insist that belief is necessary for the blessings to come. And that's not the case. Not in the Bible, at least. There were probably a lot of people that Jesus healed that really didn't have any faith in him. But they did. Now, some people express their faith. "Yes, Lord, you should say the words. I believe it'll be done." As the centurion did. He goes, "Lord, heal my servant. You don't have to come to my house. Just say the words. It'll be done." And that's when it says Jesus marveled at his faith, for he had not seen that in all of Israel. And so, it's not necessary to be a believer in order to receive the blessing of a cure from God. And that's not really the case here. But this was a demonstration of the power of God. And it was a demonstration not only to those there in Israel, but it was a demonstration to those from Aram and to Naaman. And so, after that, he says, "Behold, I know. Now I know. The message that was sent to me was accurate. It was right. The God of Israel has cured me." And so Naaman came back to offer gifts for his cleansing. However, as we read the story, Elisha refused. See, Naaman insisted, so Elisha agreed to accept a load of dirt. See, what Elisha was thinking was, "You know what? God just told me to tell this guy to do that. I didn't do anything special. I didn't have to go out. I didn't earn wages. I didn't spend 3 hours, so I had $15 an hour. I need $65 or whatever." No, he didn't do that. Actually, $45. But still, Elisha said, I tell you what, just give me a load of dirt. Now you think, what good is a lot of dirt? Well, if you have a very parched, dry land, having some extra dirt, you can plant some plants in it, maybe some vegetables and some fruit, and it might start growing. So that's all he agreed to accept. The dirt really had no value to anyone, because where can you find dirt? We know the answer to that. We can find it anywhere. So Elisha had done what God told him, and he did not feel that such obedience should be compensated with riches. Just didn't seem right. So we learn here that Naaman was healed only after he had done what he had been commanded. Now, he could have said, well, okay, I'll go do it. And then if he had the healing, do you think he would have continued on and did dipping seven times? No, he wouldn't need to. So it was only after he had done what he had been commanded that he received the blessing of the clean skin. And so that was the result. And so it is for us today. When we do what God commands, we will receive the blessings that he has promised. And that's something a lot of people just can't seem to get in their mind. They get the idea, well, God is so good, he can't help but bless everybody. And so they expect God to bless everybody, even though people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, even though they're not obeying his commandments. And the lesson here is, yeah, we need to obey his commands in order to have the blessings. And so, and really, when we think about it, that makes many passages of scripture vital. Why? Because the scripture tells us what God wants us to know. All the scriptures inspired of God, the entirety of God's word is truth. And if God says we need to believe something, that's what we need to believe. If God says we need to do something, that's what we need to do. And we're really not going to receive any blessings unless we do those things. Now, Matthew 7:21, basically, we think about this passage in light of what we said. He that does the will of my Father in heaven. This is the one that's going to receive the blessing. The one who obeys God. In John 3:36, he who does not obey the Son does not have life. You know, John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that was repeated in John 3:36, but John also added, he who does not obey the Son does not have life. There's a lot of people in this world willing to believe in Jesus, but they don't want to do what he says. And they're not going to see life. They're not going to have everlasting life that they are hoping for. Hebrews 5:9, Jesus Christ, the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. Even though he's made it possible that anyone can receive it, it's only those who obey him are going to receive the eternal life that he promises. And so, yes, after doing God's will, we can receive these blessings. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how we demonstrate our love to God and Jesus, by keeping the commandments that they've given to us. So we need to obey God's commands. And we cannot emphasize that enough. A lot of people get sick and tired of hearing that message. They get sick and tired of hearing that we have to obey God's commands in order to go to heaven. They don't like hearing that. They want someone to tell them that, okay, don't worry, God loves you. Go ahead and do what you want to do. He's still going to love you, so you don't have to worry about it. And they're not willing to do God's commandments, because the commandments they can consider burdensome. But 1 John 5 says it's not burdensome. Keeping God's commands is not. If we love God, we're going to be happy to do his commands. And so, what are these commands? Well, sometimes simply just hearing the word, hearing the message of God. And really, like I say, it doesn't matter who the messenger is, whether it's Kerry Scott, the preacher, or some other person, the preacher. As long as the message of God is put out there, either by hearing it or maybe by reading it, We put the message out on the internet all the time, and people get exposed to it. So they need to hear the word. They need to believe the word. They need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then they realize their actions have been in opposition to God, so they need to repent of their actions and change their ways. And they need to confess the name of Jesus, confess Jesus as Lord, and they need to be baptized for the remission of sins. And then, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know, such a simple message that comes from God, clear, concise. It's very hard to misunderstand the message. Just like Naaman received a message, said, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. I mean, he wasn't given a whole lot of other things he had to do. Just go do that. Finally, when he did it, he was healed. When we just do what God asks us to do and obey his commands, then we're going to receive the blessings. But the blessings won't come if we intend to do that. And if we have the good intention of doing it, no, blessing's not going to come then. It's only after we have done the will of God will we receive the blessings. So hopefully you can see the necessity of obedience in your salvation. It is so important. And so many people despise that word obedience. And they don't like it. They don't want to submit to anyone or any God for that matter. They just don't like to do that. And so they're not going to get the blessing of eternal life. God has done his part by providing the source of salvation. We know that. The source of salvation is Jesus Christ. So God did his part by providing the way. And you must do your part by obedience to his commands in order to receive your salvation. Such a simple message. And the question is, are you ready to do those things? Yes, we've gone through that process. All of us in here have done that. But there's other people who have not. And if they want to go to heaven to receive the blessing that God promises, a great blessing, then they have to do the will of God first. And then they'll receive the blessings. And that's such a simple message to get across, and we need to let people know that. So consider these thoughts. That's our lesson. We're going to offer the invitation. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand in